Welcome to CVM Stories, the podcast on customer value management. Together, we explore how companies can be more successful and the customers happier through the use of latest customer value management techniques. Learn key commercial and analytical insights from telecoms, retail, finance, and other industries that drive CVM forward.
KPI for me stands for Killing People Initiative. Documentation is the entry point. Short-term wins need to be shared. If you are working very well, the transformation is on the good track, and you are not sharing, communicating with your environment, they will eat you. You can measure yourself inside, but if the customer is complaining, you are still not working properly.
CVM Stories is produced by Exacaster. We help companies take their customer value management to the next level. To stay updated on our latest episodes, subscribe to the podcast or sign up for an email newsletter at exacaster.com/CVM Stories.
So, Alexis, thank you for joining us today. I know that you have been working in Orange for at least last 10 years. It sounds like a lot. could you tell us a bit about yourself? What do you do there?
Yeah, first of all, thank you very much for Exacaster and you, Jive, to give me the opportunity to talk, share my insight, my thought around my position, my current position at Orange, and my experience on operations and transformation. Currently, I am director of Orange Strategy and Transformation for operations side. I work for the whole group. I am managing a team which is responsible for operation efficiency regarding recommendation, driving change, and so on. Beside that, I'm also a referent of Future Operations Community. It's about 80 experts in the group to think about the current operations and the future operation, the future of operations. My DNA is 20 years of software development based on Agile, DevSecOps, and driving change across Orange and before Orange, Alcatel-Lucent, now Nokia.
Okay, so it seems like you have quite a lot on your plate right now. You both manage the team, help to build the operation strategy around the whole Orange.
Yeah.
What was your path to the telco? So it's like, what was your story until you came to the place where you are?
Yeah, it could be surprising because I am graduate from software engineering school. Okay, so I have basics of telecom. Okay, telco, signaling, and so on. But since my graduation, I work for IT for telecom domains with a background of IT. You can imagine how I need to adapt, even from telecom Bretagne. Computer science, high degree of computer science in telecom, to Alcatel-Lucent. I worked there during 9 years working in telco with all, you can imagine the wording, all the keywords in telecom from a computer science software engineering engineer. And the things 10 years ago, I moved to Orange, and Orange is known as a telco company. And there, I need to drive change based on my experience, skills from IT part. And now I work for 7 years for IT part, ITS in Orange. Since three years ago, I moved to networks division. So I am moving faster and faster and deeper in the telecom world. You cannot imagine. It's amazing.
Oh my God, it's like, you know, your blood will be pure telco.
BTS, HLA, 5G, I don't know. I hope I will stay as I am, but my blood is getting telco and telco. But as you may know, telco is running also to our softwareization, cloudification, which are IT assets that are a little bit more on IT part. And now telco is embracing this pivot or this change.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds like a very exciting story, you know? A developer into all the way to the base stations, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Base station, exactly. On the top of the base station.
So for people like me who don't know what the director of operations strategy do, could you briefly describe, let's say, your daily role? What do you do on a daily basis so that we would have a good understanding of your context, you know?
My daily basis is running in meetings. No, I'm kidding. not running in meetings. But I am managing a team with the responsible of gardening. We consider ourselves our gardener of the operational efficiency in Orange. We are not alone. We are 5 people in our team, but we work transversally with all the affiliates, the business unit, and the project. What we do is we write the recommendation, guidelines for all the processes, governance, skills, tools, methodology. We share it. And we support affiliates who are embracing transformation. We support also business units which are about to change or to run a new business to see what are the processes, the impact on operational model, the RACI matrix, how to work with external vendors. And we support also when it comes to RFP, how do we support launching a new RFI, RFP, and RFQ inside the group for make or buy to eliminate the choice of processes, the impact of processes, the choice of the tools, and how all these things are consistent to our operational model inside Orange. This is my daily job. Sometimes it's meetings, sometimes it's a workshop, and sometimes it could be informal discussion.
Okay, so you mentioned one super interesting fact. So imagine that I am a customer value manager, yes, and I want to purchase a new super fancy marketing automation tool. So Alexis, you are the guy who says, guys, these are 500 requirements that your tool needs to support. Do you understand
exactly
it correctly?
From the operation side, our point of view, the processes, the skills, how it interacts. You need to fulfill this requirement. But I'm not working alone. My team is supporting other teams.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we are in the room to eliminate the choice and to challenge the tools, the processes, and how it will work when we will buy or choose this tool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can we dig a bit deeper here? This is an interesting topic, you know. So from the company perspective, so when the customer value management team wants to get a new tool, you know, to run the customer value management better, what are the key aspects that they have to take into account so that this new tool would be a good tool in your ecosystem? What are the most important aspects and kind of what are the 5 checks that you always do?
I don't know if we have 5 checks, but I will try to share some checks. The first check is... how your tool will integrate in our, I may say, complex environment, infrastructure. Do you have any API? Do you have any, I may say, interoperability, flexibility? How will be managed the lifecycle management of your tool? Okay. What do you need? What your tool needs to operate or to run in the proper way. And the last thing is, what happens if there is an issue with your tool regarding the processes? What happens? Where are the responsibilities? On who we must count on? And what internally in Orange, we need to know or we need to master trainings, information, documentation, architecture, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what are the most common, mistakes that teams make when they try to introduce new tools that you see from the operational perspective?
The most common mistake is not taking into account the operation constraint from the think and build side. Build could be make or buy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What do I mean by operation constraint? Is about what are the tools, okay? Internally, I need to master in order to master this new tool. What are the skills, the security issues, and what do I need to know about these tools that will help me when there is an incident or a crisis or a problem to be able to raise the right alert to the technical guys, level one, level two, or level three, depending on the level of support. So I will say that the most common, if I may summarize, is the documentation, sharing the documentation, mm-hmm. the ops guys.
Yeah.
Because you deploy the tool, even if it is in CI/CD, the tool could be deployed successfully. But where are the documentation for the ops to be able to be autonomous and master these tools at their own?
Okay.
Documentation is the entry point.
This is a totally not obvious thing when you think from, let's say, customer value management perspective. The last thing which you think about is actually documentation.
Unfortunately, it's why I say that it's a kind of hidden asset, but it's the most important one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So getting back to operations role, yeah? It's like when I worked in a telco like 15 years ago, I really understood the IT operations part or infrastructure operations. But now your function is actually growing and we hear the things like data operations, ML operations. So how do you feel that your function is suddenly touching the whole organization? It's not only, the IT guys. No, it's like everything.
It's like everything. Today, operations must be considered as a whole. You must have a systemic and holistic view when it comes to operations, because today operations are not monolithic. You cannot just say, I know to operate, because you must take into account several parameters. And today, data is one of the major parameters you must take into account in operation side. Data from customer, data from your system, data from your infrastructure. All these data will help you to improve your environment, to be sure that you are running a reliable environment and a secure environment. And also data coming from customers will help you to improve and shorten your lead time, and also to fit the business requirement. So today, when it comes to operations, at operation side, paying attention to the quality of data we generate, we gather, the source of the data. Because today and tomorrow, AI ops, artificial intelligence, will impact deeply the way we operate our infrastructure, even in the IT and networks. So the future of operation is AI ops, artificial intelligence in operations, with all the things you can have around ML ops, Gen AI, and so on.
So the question is, how do you make sure that your IT systems generate good data?
Tricky question. Now, what I can share with you at Orange, to be sure that your infrastructure is generating the right data, you can monitor your business, how your business is growing or your business is behaving. If you are able to have good insight from your data that fit the business requirement, I consider you are generating the right data.
Okay. So this is kind of, I would say, you got a very easy answer, you know?
I don't know.
Okay, but let's move with the next question, because like I have another more challenging one. Okay.
Yeah.
So, how do you measure that in the operations are working properly in organization? So, for example, you know, it's like I can say we are very effective.
Yeah, we are really effective. Also, I can share what we are. It's a tricky question, but at Orange, we are experimented how to measure our the operation efficiency in the countries, in the business unit, and so on. What we consider is something known today. It's becoming a standard. We call it DORA KPI. DORA KPI stands for DevSecOps Research in Operations. Okay, KPI. Assessment. It comes from Google, to do not say its name. And what we consider at operations is some few measure metrics. The mean time to repair when this came an issue. How many time you take to repair an issue? Okay. The mean time to detect and if an outage. Because you can take several months to see that your server is going around, people are complaining, but you don't know where to find the issue. Meantime to detect. The deployment frequency. Are you able to deploy very frequently new feature or patches or upgrade to your system? Also, the meantime between the failure in your system. You can measure it to know if you fail often or you fail more rarely. And we, at Orange, we are very sensitive to the customer complaint. How many we get last month and how often we have complaints from customers. Because the reality comes from customers, not just taking metrics for your system. Because you can measure yourself inside, but if a customer is complaining, you are still not working properly. Your operation is not working properly. And the last metric could be the recovery time, RTO and RPO. It's
okay. What's
make it go
RPO?
To mean time to repair. Yeah. Ah, do you have a disaster recovery plan and how it works? Mm-hmm. Are you in the SLA regarding this RPO and RTO?
Mm-hmm.
So all these metrics are the key metrics we monitor. You have other metrics, but if you are able to monitor these metrics and make them on the good way, I think you can say, not affirm, you can say that your operations is working or running efficiently. You still need to improve it, but you can be confident to say that.
So these are, so you mentioned five metrics. Yes. How fast you can identify that there is an issue, how fast you can repair the issue, how many complaints
deployment
do you
frequency,
get,
deployment between, frequency, between meantime between failure. Yeah.
And time between failure and failure. The fix.
And also the rollback. You have also rollback. Mm-hmm. When you make a change, mm-hmm. run a change process, upgrade, and then you need to roll back because something is getting wrong. You can also mm-hmm. measure the number of rollback. If you are not getting rolling back, it means that your operations pipeline is running efficiently.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, so these are very generic metrics. So they should easily transfer through different business units. So for example, you can apply these metrics in data warehouse. You can apply this metrics in machine learning operations. You can apply this also in customer value management, even because if you run the campaign, can you adjust the campaign? How do you, can you spot the issues there? Yeah, am I correct? So these are very generic metrics.
They are generic, but also they drive how you measure. You cannot say, these are generic metrics. I need mine because it depends on how your customers and implement these metrics. But they give you the trend and also the target. Okay. For instance, in network side, you can consider that deploying a new network functions could lead to a rollback, or it will work. You see, this network, is it coming from which vendors? And you may consider this KPI or this metric with this vendor to be sure that with this vendor, you are able to do not rollback and you are a good quality. You need to implement and also to customize depending on where you want to measure.
Okay. Cool. That was very educational. Thank you.
It was not the goal, but if it is,
it is. As I said, it is very interesting to discuss the topics that we usually do not touch on a daily basis. You know.
Yeah.
Another question is: when you design your operations, yes, what are the frameworks that you use? I hear you talking about people, processes, etc. So, what are, let's say, the main frameworks that you use to structure the operations?
Yeah, internally in Orange, we don't use a standard framework coming from. Vendors or outside. We build our own framework, and this framework is called Operation Master Plan.
Okay.
This Operation Master Plan is not a kind of framework you must apply from step zero to step eight. It's a document that give you all the requirement, no, the guidelines and recommendation from the group Orange for the whole affiliate and so on. In this document, we call it Operation Master Plan, referential of Orange operations. We give recommendation from each processes you need to run, the skills you need to develop or to the tools we recommend internally, tools we can from external we can recommend, and tools we forbidden. And also,
okay,
yeah.
Why do you need the forbidden tools?
Because from security, maybe it's not cost effective. Maybe it's not. Security from security side is not safe. It depends.
Or maybe
integration could lead to some mistakes or some issues with our tools. Okay, so we recommend, we can accept, but there are tools we forbid them. Okay, and also when coming to methodology, there are some methodology we recommend, Agile, DevSecOps. So this is a kind of North Star where every affiliate must move towards. Means that they must be able to implement or ask support from the group, my team and other skill center to help them to set up and implement these guidelines. And this is our framework. So we can today, this framework is able to evolve with artificial intelligence, AI apps, network cloudification, virtualization, telco as a platform, telco cloud. Everything that are that is raising today will impact this internal framework.
Yeah. Okay. And before you mentioned that at Orange, you really take into account the voice of your customers. So, for example, if they complain, etc., do you incorporate into your operation strategy somehow the customer feedback or kind of the complaints aspect? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or is it primarily tech-driven?
But from my position, my customers are business unit and affiliates. And their customers are final users. I'm not far from final users, but between me and final users, I have a business unit and affiliates or project. If I consider affiliate and business units are my customers, the feedback loop we have from them is to how they run the processes and what skills they need. Because sometimes what we recommend in the book is not what they run in the ground. It's not a shame, but it's the reality. So the feedback is, could you make your process more flexible, more up to date, to be more consistent with the reality on the ground? And then we take into account such feedback, like today, if you have a crisis, do you run incident management, then problem management, or you jump directly to crisis management? And if you jump directly to crisis management, who are the stakeholders to be in the room? You see? So such kind of feedback help us to improve our recommendation and also to challenge the theoretical point of view as a recommendation and the reality on the ground when it comes to fulfill the customer needs. It could be also the tools. Internal tools are there, I may say, efficient, or we need to make an RFI or RFP for another tool. Even if we recommend the internal tool. Or they can say, we need an API to be able to connect our ticketing tools to the vendor tools so that we can have a good view on how to create and manage the tickets. So these kind of feedbacks coming from the ground help us to improve the recommendation and also to have something that is more business oriented than just having processes described in a book.
Okay. So now another heartbreaking question, you know?
Yeah.
So you have this book of recommendations, how you, as you said, the North Star, how the company should run operations, yes? And now there's a reality at the point when you deliver the book, you know?
Yeah.
So how do you close the gap, you know, between your recommendation and how the reality works right now? So do you have any tools to kind of, I don't know, push the implementation in the organization? How do you run the change management part here? It's like,
very good question. And this is the challenging part of my position, because as you mentioned, I have a recommendation. Maybe they are obsolete regarding the reality. I have a reality on the ground. Maybe they are not following the recommendation, but they are rocking in their side. How to make the consolidation between the recommendation that need to evolve and the reality that need to be shared more widely in the group? What I try to set up with others, my team and also in the group, is to have a kind of webinars and sharing meetings to share the recommendation where we are today. And also a sharing meeting from the affiliate to share best practices. How are they doing or implementing the processes? And having this kind of two voice, we are able to approach the affiliates to take the best practices to feed and modify the processes, recommendation, and then share with all the affiliates in the group. So we are capitalizing from the real practice in the ground when it makes sense, and also we can scale to the group level. But this is very hard to do, because sometimes you don't know that some affiliate is doing something you need to call. It's not painful, but it's time consuming sometimes. But this is where we must go because it's the reality and what will bring sustainable value to Orange.
How about the agile kind of agile way of work in operations? Yes. So would you say it is important, and do you use it, and how does it link with all the operations concept?
Yeah, of course. I would say that agile is very important and critical in operation side. I'm coming from development, where agile is something that is obvious. Okay, practicing Scrum, Kanban, Extreme programming has become obvious in development part. In operation, it's a little bit different and a little bit harder because you are not developing product. You cannot run sprint. You need to adapt agility in operations. And what we do at Orange is to bridge, and my role, drawing operation side with a background of development, is to bridge between the gap, bridge the gap between developers and operations. Bring the developer mindset or share to operations and share the operation concern to development. So we are building different kind of DevSecOps teams. Okay. Putting ops in the room earlier in the design and build phase so that you can make awareness on the constraint to avoid deploying a new feature in a production where they don't know everything. There is no document. They don't know how to run the CI/CD pipeline. They don't know how to run the new processes. So we are revisiting all the processes, mainly, I may say, incident, problem, crisis, and also release and change management to embark the agility and DevSecOps spirit. We are at the, because, you know, Orange is huge. So every affiliate and business unit are not in the same level. There are some affiliates who are quite advanced, but are performing very well the way to work in agile, DevSecOps, automation, pipeline, and so on. But in the other end, you can find some affiliates who are at the tipping point because maybe of the complexity of environment, maybe before, because of competencies, maybe before of, because of, the strategic plan regarding the business, where to go. So my role is to bring the ops in the dev team, not to bring the dev in ops, to bring the ops in the dev teams. This is my role, and I am trying to work hardly to be sure that when there is a new product, the ops are in the room.
And this is a very interesting topic. So again, what are the, let's say, key things that developers forget about operations, you know? Besides documentation.
Yeah, besides documentation or beyond documentation. What they forget sometimes or most often is, the tools they are using. You know, a developer can, this is a new tool, it's performing, it's open source, I install it and I use it. But when it comes to operations, are you able to install this fancy or this nice tool? I don't know. Yeah, and operations say, what is this tool? I don't know it. Oh, it's open source one. Open source, what does it mean? It's free, but who install and who care about the lifecycle management of this tool? And you discover that the tool is not really free, for free. If you want to put it in operation, you need a license and you need to pay. And you say, we cannot do it in operations. What do we do? So I may say that besides beyond documentation, this is one of the most often things developer discover in operation side because we are not aware. In operation, you cannot do what you want because there is security. You cannot play with customer data. You cannot play with customer needs and also the SLA. You need to use tools that you are sure to operate and also to master.
So you say that kind of deploying to operation, deploying to production, and seeing that the server doesn't have some fancy library.
Yeah, that could not be deployed. How do we do? Walk around. Walk around is not a solution. And you come up to, we need to discover it and develop new one. And you lose time to redevelop based on an official or standard or accepted, validated tools. You waste time.
But I know it sounds like funny, this conflict, but actually how do you fix that conflict? Because it's like, you know, it's a constant communication, you know?
No, it's communication, but it's also challenging. Okay? Challenging. It's why my position coming from the development world, I'm able to understand how I was using library for Python, Java, and so on. I know it is your job as a developer, but you must think earlier in the development phase, how do we deploy and operate? That's why I think bringing an ops guy in the development team, it will challenge and also share the constraint so that they can maybe tackle them or address them earlier in the development phase. And what I do is today, not to evangelize, but to be in the room when it's come to develop a new tool or to deploy a new tool, to say, okay, guys, you are deploying maybe a very good product. What are the operation requirements you are fulfilling? Are you compliant? What are the risks? The operational risk. Are you aware about it or about them? And then we discuss to challenge what they are providing and what must be shared or provided to operations. It's communication, sharing, and also working in a kind of a win-win spirit with the goal to have a collective ownership and a shared responsibility.
So when you say you work in collaboration mode, so Alexis, sometimes you allow those unlicensed kind of packages?
No, never.
I'm just joking, sorry.
I know. I'm not a Polish guy, but no, you cannot do it. Kidding, but this is sometimes a real discussion, fighting, conflicting between the dev and the ops.
I understand. It's like... I'm coming from product development as well, so I kind of I understand the conflict part here. Moving a bit further, yes. So you, Alexis, you said you are among 80 people who are designing the future of operations. Yes. So the future is always, as we say, kind of ahead and always the North Star.
Yeah.
But when you are planning also kind of deploying that future in reality, so what are the key challenges kind of when you try to push that future in the organization? What are the key challenges to adopt that?
Yeah, the key challenges I see today is the cultural mindset shift. Because you are used to do things in a way, okay, and you are comfortable. When it comes to future, future is uncertain. Okay, I cannot tell you what will happen to do tomorrow, nor in 10 days, nor in 10 years, not speaking about 20 years. Okay, future is uncertain, and embracing future, having a future proof solution is taking a risk. Okay, so the main challenges are the business as usual requirement and also the path to the future. And this part is a kind of risk you are taking. When I say that it's more cultural mindset shift than tools, technology, competencies, are people ready to move? If yes, for why and for what? So this cultural mindset shift is the main factor or the main fact or the main key point to consider. It's very, very, very important. And the orange, as I said, some are moving faster to the future, really enjoy enthusiastic to embrace the future. Some are, they are willing, but the day-to-day job, the business as usual, is a little bit huge, and it consumes all the energy and all the space so that they cannot look to the future. Why do you say you will automate the network inventory, the self-healing, auto-discovery, orchestration? It looks nice. But the reality today for some people is not this. They're doing things manually, and it works, even if it is maybe harder to do. So putting and sharing the vision that we can go there is the most difficult thing I see in the transformation.
So as we said, telco is already in your blood.
I still have a mindset of IT, but I need to not to shift, to adapt myself to telco needs.
So what would be your pro tips, to encourage people to for the movement or to start making those steps forward? Because every change for people, it's usually challenging.
Yeah.
And you kind of need to prepare. And especially when you talk about the changes across all organization, you're talking about the operational management across the whole telco. Yeah. And your change will impact probably all business units. Yes. So exactly. How do you align them to move forward?
Yeah, what I tried...
Including that they are in different stages.
Yeah, what I tried, and it seemed to work because I have seen some concrete results from some affiliates, is to share the vision, have a clear vision, and not support and help people to be aligned. Okay? Vision alignment. After that, show or share, work on the added value of this transformation. When we will get on the North Star, what will happen? And share the benefits. If there is any thing that is unclear on the benefits, you need to take your time to be sure that the benefits are understood and it's clear to everybody. What will be different? How will we behave? What will we say, view, share, tell, and so on? What will be our feeling when we'll be on the North Star? If you are able to make people dream on the North Star, make the benefits clear and obvious, people will start take the first step. So you come to how you step your transformation. The first step must not be so high or so huge to take. Identify the first quick win that will help people to understand, to communicate, and to be enthusiastic to take the journey. And then, so share and align on the vision, identify the first step. And the first thing is to communicate, share the quick wins. Short-term wins need to be shared. If you are working very well, the transformation is on the good track, and you are not sharing, communicating with your environment, they will eat you one day. I will see what kind of area you are enjoying. You are doing amazing things, but what is the benefit for us? You are wasting time. The business need you. The business need us, and they will eat you because they are not aware about what you are creating as an innovation way for the future of the organization. Have a vision, align on the vision, show the benefits, take the first step, and share and communicate on your quick wins. This is what I apply usually, and it seems to work. Not always, but it works.
As we still see you, you are not eaten yet.
Not yet. Not yet. I hope never.
Alexis, when you start this movement, how do you measure that, let's say, your transformation is moving at the right pace at the right direction?
The common answer, the easiest one, is to say you measure your journey in the transformation based on the key success factor you have defined at the beginning. Now, what are the key success factors? I don't know. It depends on your vision, your willing, your target, and so on. But the most important indicator, not KPI. I hate KPI. Because you know why? KPI no. For me stands for Killing People Initiative. Come on. If you set a KPI, people will reach the KPI, but they can miss the product, okay? So KPI is not the good way to measure your transformation. What you can measure to be sure that you are in the good track is how your business is behaving. Are you getting more customers? Are you getting less customer complaint? Are you putting in production a reliable product, secure, and so on? This will help you to see that your innovation, the transformation, is on the good track. How do you behave regarding your competitors? Are you in the right time, or you are late or too fast? So this will help you to say that, okay, this transformation is useful, and it brings significant value or obvious outcomes. But the metrics depend on what you want to measure. I don't know. I cannot say that you must measure the net promoter score. You must measure the quality of services, the quality of experience. It's a buzzword, but you need to customize it really in your context.
Okay, thank you, Alexis. I was just reflecting that, you know, we started with you, that you started your career as a developer.
Yeah.
You know, and now you're like talking as the extremely kind of impactful leader, you know?
Thank you.
I think we'll start wrapping up our podcast episode. And always at the end, we have three questions for our guests.
Yeah, okay.
You know? So question number one, what is your... most proudest moment in your career?
Yeah, this is a tricky question because I have a career more than 20 years. Very difficult to remember or to choose one. But I may say that becoming an Orange expert, Orange Group expertise, I started with software. I spent 3 years and now I moved to operations. And now I am a referent and also expert on this community. Made me very proud to all my career paths are a technical guy, insightful, focusing on the technical aspect by taking into account all the other aspects. And also being at the position of Director of Operation and Strategy Transformation inside Orange for the whole group make me also proud. Even if it is very hard to manage everything in a huge company like Orange, it made me very proud. But there are some, I may say, events in the past in my motivate me, make me proud, but it will be maybe a little bit long to expose everything. But I'm very proud to be where I am today.
Okay. Sounds inspiring, you know. As I said, your career from, developer to part looks really, really inspiring.
I hope it's not the terminus and the end.
No. So imagine what will happen after next 20 years, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
Another question we have is like, what is the horror story, you know, of your career that you can laugh now at? You know, did you have some memorable failure, you know? And I think operations is a good place collect failures.
I have two. Yeah. One is horrible but funny. And the second one is a kind of anecdote of learning, okay? The first one were in 2012 where I was developing Alcatel-Lucent. We have developed a mobile streaming application. And I was leading and responsible for two or three modules in this platform. And I've made an upgrade where I put an int as a tip to a variable instead of long for a date. You know, that date can be long.
Okay.
Date.
Yeah.
Okay? A date in Java. And my browser, when it comes to date in the past, okay, in the past, the size of the buffer to record the integer is not enough. It's overheading. So my application started to remove all the records in the database that was valid instead of removing the obsolete one. Do you think? It was movies, audio file, media files. At this time, I was an expert in Java. I just get Java certified. What a shame for an expert to develop such a code. Do you see? This is, I was like a shame. I wanted to disappear because it's not a job from an expert. It's not what we expect from an expert. And my colleague was laughing. You're an expert in Java. Well, welcome.
Deleted half of the base, yeah.
Not alpha. In 1 hour, we were able to fix and make a rollback to fix the issue. But during half an hour, the records, the file was removed because it was automatically, okay? So this helped me to be humble. Even if you are expert, you need to be humble and to learn, open to learn. The second one is a kind of anecdote. 2018, we're in Dakar, Senegal, with some colleagues to run a transformation, agile and DevSecOps. We arrive in the morning, enthusiastic, with a lot of sunshine, with hot, coming from France. You can imagine we're enjoying to be in Dakar. We start kissing all the people to embrace them. Oh, welcome in the workshop. But what we didn't know is that in Dakar, in Senegal, in Muslim countries, there are some variant of Muslim, you female don't embrace and kiss males. We didn't know. And then some colleagues said, oh, Alexis, you kiss the female, but it's forbidden. They accept it because you are strange, but it's forbidden here. You need to present your excuse, apologize, everything. And in the afternoon, we start the workshop by saying, okay, guys, we are sorry because we kiss you, but we didn't know that's for forbidden, blah, 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 and so on. Since this day, whatever I do, whenever I am, I don't kiss my colleagues. I don't show my hand. I just say hello. And if they handshake, I handshake. If they kiss, I kiss, depending. This also means that cultural dimension and orientation could be an obstacle to the transformation you are running with countries, because Orange, we are about 26 countries with different culture, practice, the habit, and so on. So you need also to pay attention to where you are putting your legs, your hand, and how to run the transformation. If we didn't show our excuse, maybe we will say this guy is not, they don't understand, we cannot follow them, they don't respect anything, and you miss your transformation. Quite long, yes, but I wanted to share it with you.
These are very important, rare lessons in life, you know. And the last question, it's like, could you share any resource? It could be a book, movie, you know, podcast, anything.
Yeah.
For people who are interested in, let's say, the topic of your career, you know?
Yeah. So I have 4 books I have read. I will not listen podcasts because there are a lot of podcasts you can find in podcasts or YouTube. The 4 books I have read and they transform me are, the first one is Miracle Morning, How to Set Up Personal Goals and Set the Means to Achieve It, Al Herod. If you read this book, you will be transformed.
Okay.
The next one is The Power of Now. It's from Eckhart Tolle. How to Enjoy the Present and Keep the Future in the Future and the Past in the Past. Just the instant which is available is now. You and me. Not what will happen in 1 minute and what did happen in 1 minute ago. The Power of Now. And the next one is The Power of Intention. What is your intention? Your objective, goals, but what is your intention? How do you connect to the real intention that is inside you? And the last one is the 4 Toltec Agreement, how to behave in a collective, being assertive, and also working without judgment, taking everything on your head, and giving the opportunity to others to also learn and work together. I have read the 4 books, and the 4 books, I may say, help me personal life and professionally speaking. I'm good. Hope it will also inspire you in your journey.
Thank you very much, Alexis, for the recommendations and for all the podcast. It was really a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to CVM Stories. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a review. You can also ask us a question about a particular customer value management challenge you have at work. We will happily ask our experts to tackle your challenge in a future episode.